with our series called The Character of the Fourth Man. Who loved that, by the way? Now, I really want to encourage you, if you've missed the first part of it, go to Podbean, download it, make sure to listen to it. It will encourage you, and it really challenges us with our characters. Now, this morning, we're going to continue, but this morning, I trust God it will be a morning like no other morning, that people will really be set free by the power of God. Amen. Now, if you study the Bible, you'll see right through the scriptures, the Bible speaks about great men of God that had to present their characters. And I want to quickly touch on them. If you think about Abraham, Abraham's character showed forth that he loved God more than he loved anything in this world. You know, when God said to Abraham, take your son Isaac, the one you love, Abraham could have fought the Lord. He could have said, Lord, rather take Ishmael, rather take one of the camels, rather take one of the herd. But he didn't say that. He just said, yes, Lord. And that's a sign that his character is much stronger than his possession or his love for any person in this world. His love for God is truly a reflection of a pure character. If you believe this, say amen with me. He didn't say, Lord, I want to negotiate. Rather take Ishmael. Lord, take the promise. Take the son of promise. This is my character. This is what I want to display to you, Lord. I love you with all of my heart. And by the way, God called him a friend of God. I want you to say, I am a friend of God. Now, because of his character, the scripture says that his children's children were blessed. Listen, how many people that sits in this place believe in the blessing of Abraham? Lift your hand. If you believe the blessing, okay, so we are part of the blessing of Abraham because of one man's character that revealed, Lord, I love you more than I love anything in this world. And because of that, he's called a friend of God. Come on, Jonah, the scripture says Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh and Jonah refused. He rebelled. Do you know why? Not because he didn't want to go there, because he refused thinking to himself, Lord, how can you save people like the people in Nineveh? They are so far away from you. And he was actually angry that God wanted to save them. You know, you can go on. The scripture says that God created a tree for him out of nothing. My God, I feel just some prophetic movements and moments coming up in this place. Out of nothing, God just created a tree. Out of nothing. Come on, I said out of nothing, God created a tree. And the scripture says he sat under the tree and then God cursed the tree. The tree withered away and he was angry again. He was angry at God. Dear Lord, it's so hot. Why is the tree gone? And God said, hey, who made this tree? Did you create it? You didn't. Who created him? You didn't create him. I created him. And the scripture says he ran away. He didn't want to, and eventually ended up in a boat, and eventually ended up in the sea, and a big, big fish swallowed him in. And there were many people say, well, back then, it couldn't be a whale. There wasn't that big fish in that sea. It was small fishes. I said, that just proves my point of a God who takes nothing, and he did. If you want to tell me, well, it was just tunas back then. Well, thank God a tuna swallowed him in, because the Bible says he was in the stomach, Aman, of a fish. And it just proves my point, how big our God is. Come on, I want to speak to somebody. What is impossible for our God? Come on, my God is able. I want you to shout, my God is able. Come on, you can do it again. My God is able. If you were swallowed in by a tuna fish or by a shark or by a whale, who cares? The Bible says he spent 3 nights in the naughty corner. Amen. I said amen. Amen. But he revealed his character. Lord, I want you to bless those who likes you. God says, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I have come to see everybody come to salvation. Lord, I don't like them. I don't care. I love them. That's character. Come on, shout character. The Bible says Stephen was so filled with the Holy Spirit and with power that the scripture says that he preached Jesus. And do you know what I love about Stephen? Stephen is not a modern day preacher. Stephen is a preacher full of the Holy Spirit, full of power and full of faith. And he preaches an uncompromising gospel. He preaches it so powerfully. Read the Bible. The scripture says, as Stephen preached, he said, I see the heavens opened and I see Jesus, the Son of God, standing next to the Father. Well, this is one instance that the Bible doesn't say Jesus is seated next to the Father. This time the Bible says Jesus is standing next to the Father. And do you know why Jesus was standing next to the Father? Because while Stephen, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of power, preached this gospel with such power, Jesus was actually standing with a standing ovation and say, this is how you ought to preach. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. And you know what? He preached so powerfully that they closed their ears and they started shouting and then they started stoning him. And you know what Stephen didn't say? Stephen didn't say, well, because of that stone, I just changed my conviction. No, while he was stoning, they stoned him, he shouted out, God, forgive them. For do they do not know what they do? And suddenly he said, receive my spirit. Well, that's a man of character. He knows many people reveal character unless the ball is turned. Well, true character comes out when it's hard. Come on, true character comes out when it's tough. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, this is why when you are full of the Spirit of God and you're not changed, you have never met God. Come on, this morning, I break every form of religion over your life, every form of familiarity. I break it in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, I take authority over the spirit of religiosity and everything that kept you back from the power of God. You need the Holy Ghost and you need His fire and you need His faith in you. And when you have it in you, everything changes. You know why? Because suddenly now you have the character of God. I don't have the character of the Kerkrat. I don't have the character of the apostle. I have the character of the fourth man, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to be like him. And by the way, free of charge, in this church, we only preach Jesus and we only lift him up. And it's all because of him. Is somebody listening to me in this place? If you agree with me, I want you to jump to your feet. And I want you to start to jump and say, it's all about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! The Bible says Saul persecuted the church. He hated the church. He hated the church. In actual fact, Saul was part of them while they were stoning the Christians of the day. He was part of the plan. And the Bible says on the road to Damascus, a light shone. And he fell on his knees and he was blinded. And suddenly say, who are you, Lord? No. He didn't hear that. Saul persecuted the church, fell on the floor. After he saw something and he said, who are you, Lord? He knew God. But religion kept him bound. His own nature, this is why when God deals with you, he had to change the names. Saul the persecutor to Paul the apostle. And now here's the powerful thing. The scripture says, Jesus said, it is I, Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Think about this. Saul persecuted the church. Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? When you persecute brothers and sisters in the Lord, you persecute Christians, you persecute Christ. You fight Christians, you fight Jesus. Now, it doesn't stop there. Do you know what? Later on, we know that Saul was blinded, his eyes opened up. It had to be because when his eyes opened up, in the natural, his spiritual eyes also opened up. Amen? He was a new man. And then the scripture says that God said to him, I'm going to show you how much you're going to have to suffer for my name's sake. You see, your character will cost you a lot. People don't understand this. People pay for their characters. The Bible says, I'm going to show you for how much you're going to have to be persecuted for my name's sake. Why should Paul be persecuted now? Because Paul persecuted the church. And what you sow, come on, don't be quiet on me now. Am I touching a sensitive? Jesus said, you're going to pay your whole life because you touched my people. And because of Paul's character as the old man, you have to understand this. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequence. There's always a consequence to what you have done. This is why we need to get our characters in order. If you want power, don't forget about the power. Ask God, give me character. Because character is much more important than power. You can have all the gifts in the world. If there's no character, it means nothing. The character, listen, I've said it, I've touched on this, that a man's name or you know, your reputation is just what man thinks of you. But your character is what God knows of you. Oh, come on. People try to cover their names instead of saying, Lord, clean my character. If there's something wrong in me that you despise, take it out. I want to be called a friend of God. Lord, I want to be able to call on heaven and see the blessing of God coming upon my life. Come on, I want you to lift your hands and say, Lord, do it today. Do it today. The Bible says Cornelius, a man, devoured. And by the way, Cornelius wasn't a Jew. Cornelius was a Gentile like you. A Gentile like me. And the Bible says his character was so upright before God that he continuously prayed, continuously gave alms. Now alms means that he did charitable deeds. He sowed. He was a sower. Please say he was a sower. And then the Lord said to him, your prayers and your alms came up as a memorial before God. And you know what? Because he gave and because he prayed, the scripture says his whole family was shaken by the power of God. And eventually the whole Gentile race. You sit here because of Cornelius' faithfulness, because his character. Oh my God, I feel like preaching in this place. Hallelujah. Come, I want you to shout hallelujah. Come, I want you to put Job. Let's go to Job chapter 2. Now, by the way, when Satan attacks you, why does he attack you? He attacks your character. He wants you to waver in who you are in God. Come and help me out. If Satan attacks your finances, he doesn't touch your money. He touches your character. Do you know why he touches your money? Because now he says, I'm going to show what's in this guy. When I touch his money, you'll see what comes out of him. Come on, when I touch his health, you'll see. He'll curse you and die. Amen. So when Satan asked for Job, he was asking for his character. He said, Lord, let me have his character. Let me get to that place where you will see that he will curse you to your face and die. And you know, Satan was angry at the Lord. He said, this guy only serves you for what you give him. Unfortunately, we're living in a world where people serve God for what God can give them. We live in a world where people run to the anointing. They misuse the anointing. They take of the anointing and they run. Let me just quickly tell you, and Vessel to Brain approved this message. When you misuse the anointing, like I call it prostitute the anointing will turn against you as an enemy and it will fight you. Is somebody listening to me in this place? The anointing that you play with will kill you. And this doesn't just go for people that church hoppers. This goes to preachers that place with the anointing of God. This is why our characters must be what sustain us. If people ask, who's Vessel Dubrain? I don't want to have a testimony. God uses him in signs, wonders, and miracles, and he prophesies and travels the world. No, I want him to be able to say, well, he's a man of great character, filled with the Holy Spirit, a friend of God. Oh, come on. That's what you want to be known as. Come, I want you to shout, I'm a friend of God. Now I'm a friend of God. Now the scripture says that after Satan attacked him, now by the way, Job was filthy rich. He was rijk. En is niet zijn voeten geweest, hij was rijk. He had livestock, he had everything. He was a rich man. And what I like about the scripture, the Bible doesn't say, and Job was a man full of sin. No, the Bible says there was no one like Job on the earth, upright in all of his ways. This means that when God saw him, God saw character. Now, by the way, free of charge, Satan does not attack people with no character. If you're being attacked, it's because there's character in you. Wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. You have been in under an attack. It's not because you mean nothing. It's because there's something in you that Satan despises, and that's what he will attack. This is why he attacked Job. He didn't attack Job because Job was poor and because Job was far away from God. No, he attacked Job because he said, you protect him. He's upright. I'm going to show you what I'll do. So eventually, long story short, everything was gone. Everything was burned away. He lost all his money. His cars was taken away. His house was repossessed. His children is dead. His pets is dead. His budgies do it. Everything that belonged to him is a disaster at this moment. And now his wife says the following. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Do you know what it means? Do you still hold fast to your character? Curse God and die. Let's read that again. He lost everything. The only thing he had left was his character. When they take your car, when they take your house, when they rob you and steal you, the only thing that you will have left is your character. Make sure that your character speaks for you. This is why his wife thought he's crazy. Now, this doesn't just speak about Job's character. It spoke about his wife's character too. His wife was into the possessions. His wife loved God for what God brought Job. The minute God said, well, I'll show you. You know, God allows nothing unless he has a plan for your life. God doesn't say, we'll attack and strip him unless God knows you're going to attack him now, but you will give him back double for his trouble. Amen. Come on, somebody. I'm speaking to people under attack. You're not just being attacked and God is allowing it. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ, double for your trouble. So he spoke about his wife's character. So she said to him, listen, we've got nothing. Nothing. Do you see where you sit? You sit on an ash heap of life, you've got nothing. And the only thing that you're holding on to is your integrity. It's your character. Are you crazy? Well, that's most people today. Bless the Lord of my soul until he no more blesses, and then I'm angry and I've tried it once, but it's not working. You know, Job's wife did the same thing. Ah, we've tried it, doesn't work, curse God and just die. He said to him, you look better dead. He didn't hear this. She looked at Job and she says, yeah, you like better do it, bro. Dead looks good on you. You nog het omval en klaar. And she says, oh, why do you hold on to your character? Are you crazy? And she just said, curse God and just die. Hallelujah. We've got some passionate people in this church. Curse God and die. What did she say to Job? Curse God and die. And you know, Job stood up and he said, you're speaking like a crazy woman. I refuse to curse God and die. For he has promised that he will never leave me, nor will he forsake me. I refuse to curse God. For he said in his word that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I will not curse God. For the Bible promises me, even if 1,000 comes and 10,000 by my side, it shall not come near me. Come on. I will not curse God. For he says he is my great shepherd and I shall not want. Come on. Come on. I will not curse God and die. For he said joy comes in the morning. Weeping may only last for a night. I refuse to curse God and die. I said, I'm going to speak to my friends here. I refuse to curse God and die. For he says that greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. Why don't you curse God and die? I refuse to curse God and die. For he said he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. I refuse to curse God and die. For he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the bright and morning star, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I refuse to curse God. Come on, somebody, why don't you curse God and die? I will not curse God and die, because the Bible says a little one shall become 1,000 and a small one a strong nation. I refuse to curse God and die, for he says he is the life. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. I need somebody to jump to their feet and say, I will not curse God. Whoa, come on. I refuse to curse God, for his word can never come back void. I refuse to curse God and die. He promised me he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. I refuse to curse God and die, for he said he is the promise keeper. He's my way maker. Come on, he's the light in my darkness. I refuse to curse God and die. My character is greater than my need. My God, do you hear me? My character is greater than my need. I refuse to curse God and die. For the scripture says that he is El Shaddai, the God of plenty, the all-sufficient one. I want you to high-five your neighbor and say, I refuse to curse God. Come on, I refuse to curse God. Come on, where's the real people at? I want to hear you. I refuse to curse God. I refuse to curse God, for the Bible says, come on, for the Bible says to him belong all the silver, all the gold, all the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. Just one moment on my ash heap does not determine my future. I refuse to curse God, for he says, I know what I plan for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. I refuse to curse God, for he goes before me. I refuse to curse God, for he says, there's more for me than those who's against me. I refuse to curse God, for he says, I have faith to move mountains. I refuse to curse God, for he says, he'll give Goliath in my hand. I refuse to curse God, for the Bible says, that I have power, Holy Ghost power, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead shall likewise weaken our mortal bodies. I refuse to curse God, for he cannot lie. He's the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I need somebody to jump like you believe it. Jump like you believe it. I refuse. I refuse. My God! shout, I refuse to curse God. I refuse to curse God. Well, the doctor says you've got a sickness. I refuse to curse God. For he says, I am the Lord who heals you, the one who takes away your disease. He's the healer. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse to curse God. He's the only constant in my life. Woo! Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that this morning? I refuse to curse him. I don't serve God for what he can give me. I serve him because I cannot live without him. My character needs him. Come on, somebody help me out in this house. I refuse to curse God. I refuse. He's the one that hung on that cross. He's the one that died on that cross. He's the one that rose from the dead. I refuse to curse God. I refuse to curse God. My character is more important than what I need. My character is more important than my next meal. My character is much more important than the high place. My character will speak. I refuse to curse God. Come on, when that wife said, curse God and die, he said, you're speaking like a crazy woman. Don't surround yourself with people that speak bad about God. Don't surround yourself with people that says, just bless the Lord, oh my soul, and until God doesn't bless you no more. You know, Job's wife didn't read the Bible. When she said, curse God and die, my Bible says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Bless the Lord. Come on, all my soul. And all. And all. And all that is within me. Bless, not curse. Bless, 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 bless his holy name. Come on, I'm not supposed to praise. I'm supposed to sit on ashes. I'm not supposed to praise, but there's something in me that just cannot be silent no more. I don't care what the world has. There's a joy in me that this world has not given me. Come on, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all. And all. And all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, bless his holy name. Can we bless his holy name? I said, can we bless his holy name? Come on, can we bless his holy name? Bless his name. I refuse to curse him. He promised, blessed are you going and you're coming. I refuse, just because of one moment of an ash heap, I refuse to curse God and die. For he promised me, blessed will you be in the city, and blessed will you be in the field. Blessed will you be when you stand up, and blessed will you be when you go to bed at night. I'm blessed in the evening, I'm blessed in the morning. Oh, come on! I refuse to curse God. I refuse to curse God. He promised me, even though I go through a valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I refuse to curse God, for the Bible says that he is my great high priest. He is my glory and the lifter of my head. It's not time to curse. It's time to jump for joy and say, look what the Lord has done. Come on, weeping may last for the night, but thank God, joy comes in the morning. I'm free. From this morning onwards, I am not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. I believe his report. I believe that his word cannot come back void. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he can bless Abraham, he can bless me. Come on, if he can bless Daniel, he can bless me. Hallelujah! Give Jesus a great shout of praise. Whoa! Come on, can you feel it? Can you feel something in the spirit is about to break? I'm going to ask you this side. Do you feel it? Bang! Bang! One instant you were, next instant, hallelujah! You better tell your situation now. Just because I'm a little bit bended doesn't mean I'm broken. come on, you better tell your situation right now. Just because I feel weak now doesn't mean I'm stronger than the situation. Greater is He that is in me than your opinion. Come on, than the storm. I refuse to curse Him and die. For He's the one who rebukes the storm, rebukes the wind, and everything obeys. I refuse to curse God. He's the one who measures the universe in the span of His hand. I refuse to curse God, for He has called me long before I was even created in my mother's womb. Woo! I refuse to curse God and die, for He was the one who anointed me and appointed me. Glory to His name. I said, glory to His name. I said, glory to His name. Nothing can take the place of Jesus Christ. Nobody is pure, as holy, as marvelous, as precious, and true as the living Christ. Come on, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the bright and morning star. I pray this morning that He'll become a revelation to you. No longer will just be, well, my pastor had said, no, I've seen Him face to face. I'm a friend of God. Come on, I need at least 10 people that will run with me in this place as I'm a friend of God. I want to do something ridiculous. I want you to get out of your seat. Come on, get out of your seat and run. Come on, I need somebody who will run through this place as I'm a friend. Come on, I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. Hallelujah. My God.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He called me friend. Oh, I am a friend of God.
He calls me friend. Do you believe it? Come on, give Him a shout of praise. Come on, give Him a shout of praise. Well, you might say, well, this guy is excited this morning. Well, the only reason to be excited in this world is Jesus Christ. Amen. And as far as I've seen this morning, nobody's dead. So we're not attending a funeral. Come on, we're in a celebration. I said, we're in a celebration. Does my situation look like I should celebrate? Absolutely not. But I'm not moved by what I see. Oh, I love the Lord. Can you quickly take your seat? I'm almost there. Who enjoys it, by the way? I want you to tell somebody, when faith goes through fire, the outcome is favor. Now, you've chosen to be in this morning, so you've chosen to participate in the Word. And this is why I declare to you that if your faith has been through the fire, the outcome is favor. Oh, I just see it. Can you see it? Like favor is just coming. Bang! Bang! Oh, come on. Bang! Come on. Bang! When faith goes through fire. Bang! Faith.
Hands on. And how many places we've traveled. There's so many places that I've traveled that people ask me, where's the greatest place that you've ever been at? I don't just say this lightly. Me personally, South Africa. I really believe that the spiritual climate in this nation is far above that any other nation that I've been at. And the thing is, for the church in South Africa to do now is to keep the momentum. Otherwise, we'll fall in like it is in Europe and the rest of the world. We need to sustain the fire of God. So I want you to tell your neighbor, I'm sustaining the fire of God. And this morning, listen, this morning we're not at a funeral. We're going to jump, we're going to dance, we're going to run, because something good is about to happen. Come on, I believe something good is about to happen. And we are continuing with our series called The Character of the Fourth Man. Who loved that, by the way? Now, I really, really want to encourage you, if you've missed the first part of it, go to Podbean, download it, make sure to listen to it. It will encourage you, and it really challenges us with our characters. Now this morning we're going to continue, but this morning I trust God it will be a morning like no other morning, that people will really be set free by the power of God. Amen. Now, if you study the Bible, you see right through the scriptures, the Bible speaks about great men of God that had to present their characters. And I want to quickly touch on them. If you think about Abraham, Abraham's character showed forth that he loved God more than he loved anything in this world. You know, when God said to Abraham, take your son Isaac, the one you love, Abraham could have fought the Lord. He could have said, Lord, rather take Ishmael, rather take one of the camels, rather take one of the herd. But he didn't say that. He just said, yes, Lord. And that's a sign that his character is much stronger than his possession or his love for any person in this world. His love for God is truly a reflection of a pure character. If you believe this, say amen with me. He didn't say, Lord, I want to negotiate. Rather take Ishmael. Lord, take the promise. Take the son of promise. This is my character. This is what I want to display to you, Lord. I love you with all of my heart. And by the way, God called him a friend of God. I want you to say, I am a friend of God. Now, because of his character, the scripture says that his children's children were blessed. Listen, how many people that sits in this place believe in the blessing of Abraham? Lift your hand. If you believe the blessing, okay, so we are part of the blessing of Abraham because of one man's character that revealed, Lord, I love you more than I love anything in this world. And because of that, he's called a friend of God. Come on, Jonah, the scripture says Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh and Jonah refused. He rebelled. Do you know why? Not because he didn't want to go there, because he refused thinking to himself, Lord, how can you save people like the people in Nineveh? They are so far away from you. And he was actually angry that God wanted to save them. You know, you can go on. The scripture says that God created a tree for him out of nothing. My God, I feel just some prophetic movements and moments coming up in this place. Out of nothing, God just created a tree. Out of nothing. Come on, I said out of nothing, God created a tree. And the scripture says he sat under the tree and then God cursed the tree. The tree withered away and he was angry again. He was angry at God. Dear Lord, it's so hot. Why is the tree gone? And God said, hey, who made this tree? Did you create it? You didn't. Who created him? You didn't create him. I created him. And the scripture says he ran away. He didn't want to, and eventually ended up in a boat, and eventually ended up in the sea, and a big, big fish swallowed him in. And many people say, well, back then, it couldn't be a whale. There wasn't that big fish in that sea. It was small fishes. I said, that just proves my point of a God who takes nothing, and he did. If you want to tell me, well, it was just tunas back then. Well, thank God a tuna swallowed him in, because the Bible says he was in the stomach, Aman, of a fish. And it just proves my point, how big our God is. Come on, I want to speak to somebody. What is impossible for our God? Come on, my God is able. I want you to shout, my God is able. Come on, you can do it again. My God is able. If you were swallowed in by a tuna fish or by a shark or by a whale, who cares? The Bible says he spent 3 nights in the naughty corner. Amen. I said amen. But he revealed his character. Lord, I want you to bless those who likes you. God says, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I have come to see everybody come to salvation. Lord, I don't like them. I don't care. I love them. That's character. Come on, shout character. The Bible says Stephen was so filled with the Holy Spirit and with power that the scripture says that he preached Jesus. And do you know what I love about Stephen? Stephen is not a modern day preacher. Stephen is a preacher full of the Holy Spirit, full of power and full of faith. And he preaches an uncompromising gospel. He preaches it so powerfully. Read the Bible. The scripture says, as Stephen preached, he said, I see the heavens opened and I see Jesus, the Son of God, standing next to the Father. Well, this is one instance that the Bible doesn't say Jesus is seated next to the Father. This time the Bible says Jesus is standing next to the Father. And do you know why Jesus was standing next to the Father? Because while Stephen, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of power, preached this gospel with such power, Jesus was actually standing with a standing ovation and say, this is how you ought to preach. Come on, am I speaking to somebody? And do you know what? He preached so powerfully that they closed their ears and they started shouting and then they started stoning him. And do you know what? Stephen didn't say, well, because of that stone, I just changed my conviction. No, while he was stoning, they stoned him, he shouted out, God, forgive them. For do they do not know what they do? And suddenly he said, receive my spirit. Well, that's a man of character. You know, many people reveal character unless the ball is turned. Well, true character comes out when it's hot. Come on, true character comes out when it's tough. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, this is why when you are full of the Spirit of God and you are not changed, you have never met God. Come on, this morning, I break every form of religion over your life, every form of familiarity. I break it in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, I take authority over the spirit of religiosity and everything that kept you back from the power of God. You need the Holy Ghost and you need His fire and you need His faith in you. And when you have it in you, everything changes. You know why? Because suddenly now you have the character of God. I don't have the character of the Kerkrat. I don't have the character of the apostle. I have the character of the fourth man, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to be like Him. And by the way, free of charge, in this church, we only preach Jesus and we only lift Him up. And it's all because of Him. Is somebody listening to me in this place? If you agree with me, I want you to jump to your feet. And I want you to start to jump and say it's all about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! The Bible says Saul persecuted the church. He hated the church. He hated the church. In actual fact, Saul was part of them while they were stoning the Christians of the day. He was part of the plan. And the Bible says on the road to Damascus, a light shone. And he fell on his knees and he was blinded and suddenly said, "Who are you, Lord?" No. You didn't hear that. Saul persecuted the church, fell on the floor, after he saw something, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He knew God, but religion kept him bound. His own nature, this is why when God deals with you, he had to change the names. Saul the persecutor to Paul the apostle. And now here's the powerful thing. The scripture says, Jesus said, it is I, Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Think about this. Saul persecuted the church. Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" When you persecute brothers and sisters in the Lord, you persecute Christians, you persecute Christ. You fight Christians, you fight Jesus. Now, it doesn't stop there. Do you know what? Later on, we know that Saul was blinded, his eyes opened up. It had to be because when his eyes opened up, in the natural, his spiritual eyes also opened up. Amen? He was a new man. And then the scripture says that God said to him, "I'm going to show you how much you're going to have to suffer for my name's sake." You see, your character will cost you a lot. People don't understand this. People pay for their characters. The Bible says, I'm going to show you for how much you're going to have to be persecuted for my name's sake. Why should Paul be persecuted now? Because Paul persecuted the church. And what you sow, come on, don't be quiet on me now. Am I touching a sensitive? Jesus said, "You're going to pay your whole life because you touched my people." And because of Paul's character as the old man, you have to understand this. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequence. There's always a consequence to what you have done. This is why we need to get our characters in order. If you want power, don't forget about the power. Ask God, "Give me character." Because character is much more important than power. You can have all the gifts in the world. If there's no character, it means nothing. The character, listen, I've said it, I've touched on this. That a man's name or you know, your reputation is just what man thinks of you. But your character is what God knows of you. Oh, come on. People try to cover their names instead of saying, "Lord, clean my character. If there's something wrong in me that you despise, take it out. I want to be called a friend of God. Lord, I want to be able to call on heaven and see the blessing of God coming upon my life." Come on, I want you to lift your hands and say, "Lord, do it today. Do it today." The Bible says Cornelius, a man devoured. And by the way, Cornelius wasn't a Jew. Cornelius was a Gentile like you. A Gentile like me. And the Bible says his character was so upright before God that he continuously prayed, continuously gave alms. Now alms means that he did charitable deeds. He sowed. He was a sower. Please say he was a sower. And then the Lord said to him, "Your prayers and your alms came up as a memorial before God." And you know what? Because he gave and because he prayed, the scripture says his whole family was shaken by the power of God. And eventually the whole Gentile race. You sit here because of Cornelius's faithfulness, because his character. Oh my God, I feel like preaching in this place. Hallelujah. Come on, I want you to shout hallelujah. Come on, I want you to put Job. Let's go to Job chapter 2. Now, by the way, when Satan attacks you, why does he attack you? He attacks your character. He wants you to waver in who you are in God. Come on, help me out. If Satan attacks your finances, he doesn't touch your money. He touches your character. Do you know why he touches your money? Because now he says, I'm going to show what's in this guy. When I touch his money, you'll see what comes out of him. Come on, when I touch his health, you'll see. He'll curse you and die. Amen. So when Satan asked for Job, he was asking for his character. He said, Lord, let me have his character. Let me get to that place where you will see that he will curse you to your face and die. And you know, Satan was angry at the Lord. He said, this guy only serves you for what you give him. Unfortunately, we're living in a world where people serve God for what God can give them. We live in a world where people run to the anointing. They misuse the anointing. They take off the anointing and they run. Let me just quickly tell you, and Vessel to Brain approves this message. When you misuse the anointing, like I call it, prostitute the anointing will turn against you as an enemy and it will fight you. Is somebody listening to me in this place? The anointing that you play with will kill you. And this doesn't just go for people that's church hoppers. This goes to preachers that place with the anointing of God. This is why our characters must be what sustain us. If people ask, who's Vessel to Brain? I don't want to have a testimony. Well, God uses him in signs, wonders, and miracles, and he prophesies and travels the world. No, I want him to be able to say, well, he's a man of great character, filled with the Holy Spirit, a friend of God. Oh, come on. That's what you want to be known as. Come, I want you to shout, I'm a friend of God. Now I'm a friend of God. Now the scripture says that after Satan attacked him, now by the way, Job was filthy rich. He was rijk. En is niet zijn voeten geweest, hij was rijk. He had livestock, he had everything. He was a rich man. And what I like about the scripture, the Bible doesn't say, and Job was a man full of sin. No, the Bible says there was no one like Job on the earth, upright in all of his ways. This means that when God saw him, God saw character. Now, by the way, free of charge, Satan does not attack people with no character. If you're being attacked, it's because there's character in you. Wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. You have been in under an attack. It's not because you mean nothing. It's because there's something in you that Satan despises, and that's what he will attack. This is why he attacked Job. He didn't attack Job because Job was poor and because Job was far away from God. No, he attacked Job because he said, you protect him. He's upright. I'm going to show you what I'll do. So eventually, long story short, everything was gone. Everything was burned away. He lost all his money. His cars was taken away. His house was repossessed. His children is dead. His pets is dead. His budgets do it. Everything that belonged to him is a disaster at this moment. And now his wife says the following. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Do you know that what it means? Do you still hold fast to your character? Curse God and die. Let's read that again. He lost everything. The only thing he had left was his character. When they take your car, when they take your house, when they rob you and steal you, the only thing that you will have left is your character. Make sure that your character speaks for you. This is why his wife thought he's crazy. Now, this doesn't just speak about Job's character. It spoke about his wife's character too. His wife was into the possessions. His wife loved God for what God brought Job. The minute God said, well, I'll show you. You know, God allows nothing unless he has a plan for your life. God doesn't say, well, attack and strip him unless God knows you're going to attack him now, but you will give him back double for his trouble. Amen. Come on, somebody. I'm speaking to people under attack. You're not just being attacked and God is allowing it. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ, double for your trouble. So he spoke about his wife's character. So she said to him, listen, we've got nothing. Nothing. Do you see where you sit? You sit on an ash heap of life. You've got nothing. And the only thing that you're holding on to is your integrity. It's your character. Are you crazy? Well, that's most people today. Bless the Lord on my soul until he no more blesses, and then I'm angry and I've tried it once, but it's not working. You know, Job's wife did the same thing. Ah, we've tried it, doesn't work, curse God and just die. He said to him, you look better dead. He didn't hear this. She looked at Job and she says, yeah, jy lyk beter dood, broer. Dead looks good on you. Jy moet nog net omval en klaar. And she says, why do you hold on to your character? Are you crazy? And she just said, curse God and just die. And hallelujah. We've got some passionate people in this church. Curse God and die. What did she say to Job? Curse God and die. And you know, Job stood up and he said, you're speaking like a crazy woman. I refuse to curse God and die. For he has promised that he will never leave me, nor will he forsake me. I refuse to curse God. For he said in his word that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I will not curse God, for the Bible promises me, even if 1,000 comes and 10,000 by my side, it shall not come near me. Come on, I will not curse God, for he says he is my great shepherd and I shall not want. Come on, come on. I will not curse God and die, for he said joy comes in the morning, weeping may only last for a night. I refuse to curse God and die. I said, I'm going to speak to my friends here. I refuse to curse God and die, for he says that greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. Why don't you curse God and die? I refuse to curse God and die, for he said he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. I refuse to curse God and die, for he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the bright and morning star, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I refuse to curse God. Come on, somebody, why don't you curse God and die? I will not curse God and die, because the Bible says a little one shall become 1,000 and a small one a strong nation. I refuse, Mike. I refuse to curse God and die, for he says he is the life. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. I need somebody to jump to their feet and say, I will not curse God. Whoa, come on. I refuse to curse God, for his word can never come back void. I refuse to curse God and die. He promised me he will make a way where there seems to be no way. I refuse to curse God and die, for he said he is the promise keeper. He's my way maker. Come on, he's the light in my darkness. I refuse to curse God and die. My character is greater than my need. My God, do you hear me? My character is greater than my need. I refuse to curse God and die. For the scripture says that he is El Shaddai, the God of plenty, the all-sufficient one. I want you to high-five your neighbors. I refuse to curse God. Come on, I refuse to curse God. Come on, where's the real people at? I want to hear you. I refuse to curse God. I refuse to curse God, for the Bible says, come on, for the Bible says to him belong all the silver, all the gold, all the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. Just one moment on my ash heap does not determine my future. I refuse to curse God, for he says, I know what I plan for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. I refuse to curse God, for he goes before me. I refuse to curse God, for he says, there's more for me than those who's against me. I refuse to curse God, for he says, I have faith to move mountains. I refuse to curse God, for he says, he'll give Goliath in my hand. I refuse to curse God, for the Bible says, that I have power, Holy Ghost power, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead shall likewise weaken our mortal bodies. I refuse to curse God, for he cannot lie. He's the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I need somebody to jump like you believe it. Jump like you believe it. I refuse. My God! I want you to shout, I refuse to curse God. I refuse to curse God. Well, the doctor says you've got a sickness. I refuse to curse God. For he says, I am the Lord who heals you, the one who takes away your disease. He's the healer. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse to curse God. He's the only constant in my life. Woo! Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that this morning? I refuse to curse him. I don't serve God for what he can give me. I serve him because I cannot live without him. My character needs him. Come on, somebody help me out in this house. I refuse to curse God. I refuse. He's the one that hung on that cross. He's the one that died on that cross. He's the one that rose from the dead. I refuse to curse God. I refuse to curse God. My character is more important than what I need. My character is more important than my next meal. My character is much more important than the high place. My character will speak. I refuse to curse God. Come on, when that wife said, curse God and die, he said, you're speaking like a crazy woman. Don't surround yourself with people that speak bad about God. Don't surround yourself with people that says, just bless the Lord, oh my soul, and until God doesn't bless you no more. You know, Job's wife didn't read the Bible. When she said, curse God and die, my Bible says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Bless the Lord. Come on, all my soul. And all that is within me. Bless, not curse. Bless his holy name. Come on, I'm not supposed to praise. I'm supposed to sit on ashes. I'm not supposed to praise, but there's something in me that just cannot be silent no more. I don't care what the world has. There's a joy in me that this world has not given me. Come on, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, bless his holy name. Can we bless his holy name? I said, can we bless his holy name? Come on, can we bless his holy name? Bless his name. I refuse to curse him. He promised, blessed are you going and you're coming. I refuse, just because of one moment of an ash heap, I refuse to curse God and die. For he promised me, blessed will you be in the city, and blessed will you be in the field. Blessed will you be when you stand up, and blessed will you be when you go to bed at night. I'm blessed in the evening, I'm blessed in the morning. Oh, come on! I refuse to curse God. I refuse to curse God. He promised me, even though I go through a valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I refuse to curse God, for the Bible says that he is my great high priest. He is my glory and the lifter of my head. It's not time to curse. It's time to jump for joy and say, look what the Lord has done. Come on, weeping may last for the night, but thank God, joy comes in the morning. I'm free. From this morning onwards, I am not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. I believe his report. I believe that his word cannot come back void. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he can bless Abraham, he can bless me. Come on, if he can bless Daniel, he can bless me. Hallelujah! Give Jesus a great shout of praise. Whoa! Come on, can you feel it? Can you feel something in the spirit is about to break? I'm going to ask you this line. Do you feel it? Bang! Bang! One instant you were, whoo! Next instant, hallelujah! You better tell your situation now. Just because I'm a little bit bent, that doesn't mean I'm broken. Come on, you better tell your situation right now. Just because I feel weak now doesn't mean I'm stronger than the situation. Greater is he that is in me than your opinion. Come on, than the storm. I refuse to curse him and die. For he's the one who rebukes the storm, rebukes the wind, and everything obeys. I refuse to curse God. He's the one who measures the universe in the span of his hand. I refuse to curse God, for he has called me long before I was even created in my mother's womb. Woo! I refuse to curse God and die, for he was the one who anointed me and appointed me. Glory to his name. I said, glory to his name. I said, glory to his name. Nothing can take the place of Jesus Christ. Nobody is pure, as holy, as marvelous, as precious, and true as the living Christ. Come on, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the bright and morning star. I pray this morning that he'll become a revelation to you. No longer will it just be, well, my pastor had said, no, I've seen him face to face. I'm a friend of God. Come on, I need at least 10 people that will run with me in this place and say, I'm a friend of God. I want to do something ridiculous. I want you to get out of your seat. Come on, get out of your seat and run. Come on, I need somebody who will run through this place and say, I'm a friend. Come on, I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. Hallelujah. My God.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He called me friend. Oh, 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 I am a friend of God.
He calls me friend. Do you believe it? Come on, give him a shout of praise. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Well, you might say, well, this guy's excited this morning. Well, the only reason to be excited in this world is Jesus Christ. Amen. And as far as I've seen this morning, nobody's dead. So we're not attending a funeral. Come on, we're in a celebration. I said, we're in a celebration. Does my situation look like I should celebrate? Absolutely not. But I'm not moved by what I see. Oh, I love the Lord. Can you quickly take your seat? I'm almost there. Who enjoys it, by the way? I want you to tell somebody, when faith goes through fire, the outcome is favor. Now, you've chosen to be in this morning, so you've chosen to participate in the word. And this is why I declare to you that if your faith has been through the fire, the outcome is favor. Oh, I just see it. Can you see it? Like favor is just coming. Bang! Bang! Oh, come on, bang! Come on, bang! When faith goes through fire, bang! Favor! Bang! Favor! When faith goes through fire, my faith doesn't... It's not just being tested. You have to go through the fire. And when you go through the fire, the outcome is favor. It's always favor. Come on, when faith goes through fire, by the way, just free of charge, when you go through the fire, the only thing that will burn away is what bound you at the first time or the first place. Now, I want to quickly read Daniel. Let's quickly go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Before I'm going to read this to you, now, just hear me. There was three guys, the scripture says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all right? And the Bible says the following, that Nebuchadnezzar said, I am going to make a god, and this is the law. If you don't bow when they worship, we will make a furnace of fire and throw every single one in the furnace, every single one. And you know what people did was, absolutely, we'll bow. You just play that harp, and we'll bow. Like today, you know? All right, I'm speaking to you about character. Kijk over mij. Okay. Ik doe de chocolade op iets. Allemaal kijk voor. But I'm going to give you a Frisco. Okay, ja, kijk. Ek sal gekyk het, sorry. Okay. So, most people today, when you say, who loves the Lord? Everybody. Until you have to put your money where your mouth is. And when your life depends on it. They said to them, if you hear about anybody that refuses to worship my God, we'll make a furnace of fire and we'll throw them into the furnace of fire. They'll die instantly. You know, and the scripture says, before I'm going to read this, the scripture says, there came a report, these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the scripture says they are friends of Daniel. Now, call it like you want to. You become like your friends. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Show me who you hang around, I'll show you exactly where you're heading. They were not just any friends, they were friends of Daniel. We refuse to curse God. We refuse to bow before this dead thing. We refuse. I want you to say, we refuse. Yeah, lack of intimacy. We refuse. Come on, toy toy. No. We refuse. Say with me, I refuse. So then the news spread to these three Jewish men. But what they do not know is these three Jewish men had a different spirit in them. They were not moved by the worldly system. They were not moved what people say. Listen, they had an encounter. My God, you didn't hear me. They had an encounter with a living God. When you have an encounter with a living God and your character becomes his character, you don't worship dead things. Come on, you're not moved by what people say. You don't do that. When news spread and they said, King Nebuchadnezzar, Everybody in this city says, yes, we'll bow before your God. But these three men, they refuse. They said, we refuse to curse God and die. We refuse. Oh, say with me, we refuse. So Nebuchadnezzar called them and he said, listen here, who is this God that will be able to protect you from this furnace and from my mighty hand? And you know, the three men said, let's just get this thing out of the way. First of all, how do you kill somebody that's already dead? Secondly, how do you fight fire with fire? You want to throw me in fire? When you throw me in a fire, my character comes out. And you know what they said? They said, we refuse to bow before your dead God. And by the way, our God, whom we serve, is well able to save us from that furnace and from your hand. And then they went on, they said, and if he doesn't do it, still, we will hold fast to our integrity, we will hold fast to our character, and they would rather die. But we refuse to bow before this dead thing. My God. How can you be so sure that he's going to help you? Because they didn't have the relationship with a statue. They had an encounter with a living Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You better hear me. If God calls you, no man can stop you. No man can curse what God has blessed. Oh, it's somebody in this house. My God. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And the expression of his face changed. Don't you just like that? Come on, where's the real people? Have you ever walked into a place and people are so angry when they see you, their face change? It's not because of you. It's just what you carry. I said, it's just what you carry. So the Bible says, when they say to Nebuchadnezzar, my God is able. Nebuchadnezzar said, whose God can save you from the furnace and from me? I can just see them. sorry, Quinnan. You're going to have to sit for this one. Are you ready? I want to tell you about a man. This is not just any man. This is the greatest man that walked the face of the earth. And I want to quickly tell you, just by the word spoken, everything that is. And I move and I live and I have my being because of him. And I want to tell you about that man. He's not just any man. He's the savior of the world. Listen, I want to tell you about this hero. He died on the cross, and on 3 days he rose from the dead. And now he has been given a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to tell you, he is well able to save me from the fire, because it is written that even if I go through a fire, he will be with me. It is written in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, for my God is a consuming fire. But just by the way, he will save us. And he was full of fury. The expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heed the furnace. Now, I have Shadrach here. Shadrach, would you stand to your feet? Meshach. Come, Meshach. And Abednego. And he was angry. Ah! My bike needs to say it. I can open for him and say, pack my clothes for the fight. And the Bible says they were bound. And the scripture says they were so angry that Nebuchadnezzar says, not just the furnace, I want you to heat it up 7 times. Now, heat it up 7 times. There you go. Anybody who does not want to serve my God in a fire. 7 times worse. I'm speaking to people. You're not just going through anything. It seems like it's 7 times worse. That favor. When faith goes through fire, my faith it's not just being tested. You have to go through the fire. When you go through the fire, the outcome is favor. It's always favor. Come on, when faith goes through fire, by the way, just free off charge, when you go through the fire, the only thing that will burn away is what bound you at the first time or the first place. Now, I want to quickly read Daniel. Let's quickly go to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3. Before I'm going to read this to you, now, just hear me. There was 3 guys, the scripture says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right, and the Bible says the following: that Nebuchadnezzar said, "I am going to make a god, and this is the law. If you don't bow when they worship, we will make a furnace of fire and throw every single one in the furnace, every single one." And you know what people did was, absolutely, we'll bow. You just play that harp, and we'll bow. Like today, you know. All right, I'm speaking to you about character. Can't go for me. Okay. I don't like the chocolate or something. I'm okay for. But I'm gonna give you a Frisco. Okay, yeah, okay. I'm gonna kijk it. Sorry. Okay. So, most people today, when you say, "Who loves the Lord?" Everybody. Until you have to put your money where your mouth is, and when your life depends on it, they say to them, if you hear about anybody that refuses to worship my God, we'll make a furnace of fire and we'll throw them into the furnace of fire. They'll die instantly. You know, and the scripture says, before I'm going to read this, the scripture says, there came a report, these 3 guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the scripture says they are friends of Daniel. Now, call it like you want to. You become like your friends. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Show me who you hang around, I'll show you exactly where you're heading. They were not just any friends, they were friends of Daniel. We refuse to curse God. We refuse to bow before this dead thing. We refuse. I want you to say, we refuse. Yeah, lack of intimidation. We refuse. Come on, toy toy. No. We refuse. Say with me, I refuse. So then the news spread to these 3 Jewish men. But what they do not know is this: these 3 Jewish men had a different spirit in them. They were not moved by the worldly system. They were not moved what people say. Listen, they had an encounter. My God, you didn't hear me. They had an encounter with a living God. When you have an encounter with a living God and your character becomes his character, you don't worship dead things. Come on, you're not moved by what people say. You don't do that. When news spread, and they said, King Nebuchadnezzar, everybody in this city says, yes, we'll bow before your God. But these 3 men, they refuse. They said, we refuse to curse God and die. We refuse. Oh, say it with me. We refuse. So Nebuchadnezzar called him. And he said, listen here. Who is this God that will be able to protect you from this furnace and from my mighty hand? And you know, the three men said, let's just get this thing out of the way. First of all, how do you kill somebody that's already dead? Secondly, how do you fight fire with fire? You want to throw me in fire? When you throw me in a fire, my character comes out. And do you know what they said? They said, we refuse to bow before your dead God. And by the way, our God, whom we serve, is well able to save us from that furnace and from your hand. And then they went on, they said, and if he doesn't do it, still, we will hold fast to our integrity, we will hold fast to our character, and then we'd rather die. But we refuse to bow before this dead thing. My God, how can you be so sure that he's going to help you? Because they didn't have the relationship with a statue. They had an encounter with a living Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You better hear me. If God calls you, no man can stop you. No man can curse what God has blessed. Oh, it's somebody in this house. My God. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And the expression of his face changed. Don't you just like that? Come on, where's the real people? Have you ever walked into a place and people are so angry when they see you, their face change? It's not because of you. It's just what you carry. I said, it's just what you carry. So the Bible says, when they said to Nebuchadnezzar, my God is able. Nebuchadnezzar said, whose God can save you from the furnace and from me? I can just see them. Sorry, Quinnan. You're going to have to sit for this one. Are you ready? I want to tell you about a man. This is not just any man. This is the greatest man that walked the face of the earth. And I want to quickly tell you, just by the word spoken, everything that is. And I move and I live and I have my being because of him. And I want to tell you about that man. He's not just any man. He's the savior of the world. Listen, I want to tell you about this hero. He died on the cross. And on 3 days, he rose from the dead. And now he has been given a name which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to tell you, he is well able to save me from the fire, because it is written that even if I go through a fire, he will be with me. It is written in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, for my God is a consuming fire. But just by the way, he will save us. And he was full of fury. The expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heed the furnace. Now, I have Shadrach here. Shadrach, would you stand to your feet? Meshach. Come, Meshach. And Abednego. And he was angry. Ah! My bike needs to say it. I can open for him and say, pak my close for the fight. And the Bible says they were bound. And the scripture says they were so angry that Nebuchadnezzar says, not just the furnace, I want you to heat it up 7 times. Now, heat it up 7 times. There you go. Anybody who does not want to serve my God in a fire. 7 times worse. I'm speaking to people. You're not just going through anything. It seems like it's 7 times worse than before. And this is what the Bible says. When they came to the fire, they fell on their faces, bound in the fire. And he gave the commandment that they heat the furnace 7 times. 7 times more than...
moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here moving in a mist. I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Hey, we make a miracle walker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. We make a miracle walker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who.
Actual fact, let's do that again. Come on, continue to stand. Come on, hit the lights. Prematurely, guys, prematurely. Let's go. The Bible says when they looked into the oven, there was a fourth man in the appearance of the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar said, hang on, there's something wrong. Didn't we throw in three men bound? Yes, King, we did. He says, but look, I see a fourth man in the appearance of the Son of God, and four of them are loose and they're walking around. And he said the fourth man is the appearance of the Son of God. And the only thing that burned, the only thing that burned was the very things that bound them. Come on, let's worship God. Look it up.
We make a miracle walker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who. You wipe away all tears. You mend the broken heart. You're the answer to it all, Jesus. You wipe away all tears. You mend the broken heart. You're the answer to it.
I
worship you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are here.
The Bible says, there was four men in the furnace of fire. Four in the Hebrew language means dalet. Dalet means door. Door. Jesus Christ is the door. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. No one goes to the Father but by him. Nebuchadnezzar had a revelation that the fourth person in the appearance of the Son of God. You might say, well, my translation says the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is Jesus. So the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace. He said, hey, you free men, come here. Come here, you free guys. As jy Sadrak, Mesak en Abednego is, kom asseblief hier, hoor. And he sat them next to him and he checked them out. And the scripture says, just take your seat quickly. You just stand here. He says, how can this be? I can just see this. Looking around him, where's the, there's no burns? And I think he said, no ways, come here. Let me just check. And he didn't even smell like smoke. But you were... See, Margie chased me. Yeah, looks. And I was trying to be so serious now, but it's gone. What an awesome season. Thank you, guys. God bless you. BJ, Saldrach, Misach, Misach. And so he smelled him. The scripture says he was smelling. But here's the key. They were bound. Hang on. What does Nebuchadnezzar say? You bow before my God. Or I throw in the furnace of fire. The scripture says when they were thrown into the furnace, they fell on their knees. What people don't realize, they have bowed. Just stand here. What people don't know, Jesus doesn't stand here and say, oh, fight the fight. No, this is what Jesus was doing. People say, where was Jesus when they were thrown into the fire? I'm going to tell you, before, he was here. Can you take off the lights? This is where Jesus was. He waited for them to come. When they came into the furnace, they fell already in worship. He was waiting for them. And do you know what happened? The shackles were destroyed. This is why Nebuchadnezzar says, you were bound. No man can see Jesus face to face and still be bound. And here's the powerful thing. When they smelled him, the scripture says the power of smoke had no power over them. There was no smell of smoke over them. Because they've been through hell, but they smell like heaven. I'm speaking to people that's in this place. You've been through hell, but you smell like heaven. And Nebuchadnezzar says, from this day, guys, we'll serve your God. Because your God is able. Well able. And he said, we'll make a covenant. We'll make a covenant because your God has been proven faithful. That from this day, this is the only God that we will serve. These three men revealed their character. When everything in their life was hot. Now, the Bible says they've increased the heat 7 times. It became 7 times hotter. I'm speaking to people who has been going through some stuff. It's 7 times hotter than before. And your situation asks you the question, who's going to save you from this? Who's going to get you out of this? Who's strong enough? You know, a fire will not kill you because Christ is in the fire. Thank you, guys. You see, when Jesus appears, everything's different. If it's fire, if it's hail, if it's storm, it doesn't matter what it is. If Jesus is there, everything's different. My God, everything's different. Everything is different. The men came out and they were smelling like heaven. No marshmallow smell, no smoke smell. They smelled like glory. I'm speaking to you right now in this place. If you work on your character, God will work on the gifts. Maybe you hear me this side. If you work on your character, His presence will go wherever you go. Let me tell you, if you work on your character, if your character is your number one aim to work on, you'll never fight any battle alone. This is why we refuse to curse God and die, for He'll go before me. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Come on, He'll make every crooked path straight. He'll give me food to eat. Come on, there's no drought with God. Come on, there's no dry seasons with God. My God is able to save me from that fire. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. If Abraham was blessed because of his character, so will I. If Daniel was protected in the lion's den, listen, I want to tell you about a God who does miracles supernaturally. He even changes lions into vegans. Do you know what I like about this? The Bible says when they threw Daniel into the lion's den, remember what happened? The lions didn't touch him. Vegans. Yes, you know, blast like he was. En jy eerste byt, nie ek se bedaai het.
Vegetarian.
And your Bible says, when they called Daniel, are you still alive? Absolutely. How do you kill somebody that's already dead? It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I live unto the glory of God. And the Bible says then, when they threw their men in, before they even touched the ground, they were turned into meat eaters again. Before they even touched the floor, they were devoured. It happened, the Bible says, when they heated the oven 7 times, the men of Nebuchadnezzar, just coming close to the oven, died instantly because of the heat. But yet 3 men who says, we will not curse God. My character is greater than my need. I don't serve God for what I have. I serve Him for who He is. In the heat, there comes pressure, but out comes diamonds. And I promise you, whatever binds you, that's the only thing that will be burnt. But it will not touch you. I declare to you right now, and this is going to take something from you right now. It's going to take you to get out of your comfort zone, to forget where, how you, if you're prim and proper, please don't be prim and proper now. You're going to have to do something crazy today that will show everything against you that I'm free. My chains are gone. My chains are gone. And I want you to look at that screen quickly. The fire is fading. It's not as hot as it used to be. Because when Jesus steps in, everything's different. You know, if I tell you today, curse God and die, what will you do? Come on, if your wife comes to you and say, yo, broer, you're like bad. Do it like better up yo. Curse God and die, what will you do? Come on, what will you do? How much will you worship God? How much will you pray? Will you praise God when you have pain? Or do you only praise Him when everything is good? Come on, when the enemy takes out everything you've got, will you still praise Him? Come on, will you still sing, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name, if everything is bad? Come on, will you still love on Him? Will you still love on Him when they want to take your life? Come on, I'm asking you the question this morning. Will you still serve God if you know that they can take your life in an instant? Come on, will you still serve Him in the midst of pain, in the midst of turmoil? Come on, in the midst of fire, will you still love Him? I'm going to ask my friends this side. Will you still love God? Will you still give Him all the praise, all the glory? Come on, all the adoration. Come on, what about you this side? Will you still call upon the name of the Lord? When everything is bad, when all odds are against you, will you still serve God with everything you have? Now I want you to do me a favor. Come on, I want you to get onto that drums. Give me a happy beat. Here's the key now. We're not attending a funeral this morning. You know, I know the fire seems hot and the rock might be bitter, I know that. But I want to tell you, Jesus is in the middle of all of this. He's in the middle of all of this. What you face right now, don't ask the question, where are you, God? Your job is to display your character. You'll find Him in the middle of the storm. You'll find Him in the middle of the fire. Come on, now I'm speaking to people that believe the word of God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be condemned. Come on, no weapon. I said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No negative words spoken over you. Listen, I don't care what the witchcraft, what St. Gomas did and said. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. No man can curse what God has blessed in Jesus' name. Come on, you are blessed. Your going is blessed. Your coming is blessed. You are blessed in the field. You are blessed in the city. Come on, where's the blessed people of God in this place? Come on, your chains are gone. You are free. You are free. Come on, somebody needs to shout like it's already done. Somebody needs to shout like it's already done. Come on. Come on, I want to see you jump. God. I want to see you jump.
I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me.
When I call,
when I call.
Come on!
Is it true? Is it true that you are thinking of me?
Come on, church!
Are you loving?
Hallelujah!
It's amazing.
I'm a friend of God.
I am a friend of God. Oh, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
I'm a friend of God.
I am a friend of God.
One more time, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
One more time. How about
it's
you?
Amazing.
I'm a friend of God.
I am a friend of God. Oh,
I'm a friend of God.
I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Oh,
I am a friend. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Yes. God Almighty, Lord of glory.
Now I want to ask you for 1 minute, would you pray with me? Come on, in one accord. If you can pray in the Spirit, start to pray in the Spirit. Just do this for me. I want to show you what the Holy Spirit said to me. Just start to pray, but I don't want you to be shy, be afraid. I want you to pray boldly. The Lord said to me this morning, I have given you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind shall be bound. Whatever you loose shall be loose. And right now, there's people in bondage that need to be loosed. There's some situations in your life that need to be loosed. And there's some things in your life that need to be bound. So I want you to start to pray. Come on, just lift those voices. Come on, just lift the keyboard for me. Come on, lift those voices. What a call. Mantro, mendri, meshi, capra, mantro, shebra, mandi. Come on, as you pray, one accord. A shift is coming. Come on, 40 seconds, lift those voices. Come on, bold pray. Your shackles are coming off. Come on, your shackles are coming off. Every bondage, we break it. In the name of Jesus, we release the fire of God. Right now. Come on, we release the anointing right now. I loosen the power of God over your people. Right now, I release the healing fire of God in Jesus' name. I bind every fear, every depression, every oppression, every sickness and disease. I bind it in Jesus' name. And I release, I loosen right now the joy of the Lord in Jesus' name. I release right now the healing power of Jesus Christ. Come on, receive it now. Receive it now. Come on, I want you to say, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free in Jesus' name. I am free. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody give Jesus a great shout of praise. Hallelujah. I'm free. Ek is vry. Matthew 8:8. Just speak a word, Lord. My servant is healed. A word. That's it. Ek is vry. I am free. I am free. Are you blessed?